for this wonderful, incredible day. And Lord, this morning, we come to him who loved us before the foundation of this world. We come to him who is manifested in the flesh for us. And we come to him who once laid upon a manger, O God. We thank you this day as we celebrate again the indescribable gift of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, as we unite today, all of us in faith, we pray that, Lord, anyone listening to the broadcast right now, anyone in the chapel, the overflow, wherever they might be, if they don't know Jesus, the Son of God, as their Savior, we pray over them now that today is a day of their salvation. And Lord, not only that, we pray for the horrible tragedies that are happening in Syria, Aleppo, with all the people. Lord, there is no peace for them. Oh God, somehow, some way, bring peace. And Lord, for the ISIS threat that is against all the churches in America today, we pray over all congregations for divine safety. And may the angels of God surround each and every church that's having service this morning. And Lord, we thank you that you forgive us now of our sins, known and unknown, felt and unfelt, confessed and those that are not confessed, O Lord, those that we remember and we have forgotten. Thank you in the name of Jesus this morning for forgiving us and cleansing us as we celebrate the birth of your Son. And may we never, ever forget to take up the cross is truly the way to the crown. And we praise you now in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, amen. Amen. God is so good. Turn in your Bibles this morning to John's Gospel, chapter 3. And I'll be there with you in just a few minutes. And, you know, a lot of people would think, well, John chapter 3 may be a strange chapter for Christmas. But actually, it's not. You know, this morning, we, like the wise men, we've come here, all of us gathered together, to do two things, to worship the Lord and to give him our praise. Amen? That's what we're here, because Christmas is a celebration, and we have Christmas because it's all about Jesus. It's all about his birth. Matter of fact, it's the most important birth ever in this incredible world that we live in. It's supernatural, if you will. God became man. 100% God, 100% man. Incredible. Like Isaiah the prophet prophesied in Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born. That's Jesus in the manger. That's speaking of his humanity. And unto us it says that a son is given. And that's speaking of his deity. It's speaking of his death. Jesus, loved one, not only was born for us, given for us, died for us, ascended to heaven for us, ever lives to intercede for us, preparing a place for us, coming again for us. He loves us with all of his heart. Amen. What a great thing to know. And you know what's wonderful? We're expecting him to come at any time. Wouldn't it be great? What a present if he came for us today. Amen. Amen. What a great day that would be. And you know, as we keep our eyes looking unto him, who's the author, the finisher of our faith, only the Christian, only the believer truly knows what this day, why we celebrate this day, and what it's really all about. You see, many people in our country today, around the world, they're going to wake up that celebrate Christmas. They're going to wake up in the morning on the 26th, and they're going to wonder, is that all that there is? In other words, I have to go back to work. All the presents are there. The stinking tree is still up in the, you know, and it's... And after all the presents are opened and the joy starts fading away, you look there and you say, what am I going to do with this chia pet? You know what I mean? isn't that about what it is? No, but you see, well, it's the truth. I have four of them now. No, I'm just teasing. There was no room. You know that. You know the Christmas story just like I do. There was no room, of course, for Jesus in the inn. And each year in our nation, there is less and less room for our Savior in our nation. But boy, that's going to change because we're going to be praying for revival. Amen? That's right. And not only that, today, if you look out into our country, it's so sad. I was speaking with someone the other day, and they told me, they said, you know, Bill, the people of our land, we are protected. He says, the Supreme Court has granted us protection. We can use the name of God. We can use the name of Jesus. We can use the name of Christ in all of the public schools as long as it's used as a swear word. But you cannot, according to the Supreme Court, use Jesus to love him and praise him and honor him in our public schools. I believe that's going to change in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, I look around and I even know this morning, and I say this without any judgment on any pastor or church, but it seems like we know there's no room in America for Jesus. But it's really sad when this day there's thousands of churches that actually canceled Sunday Christmas service. Yes. I mean, what is it all about? This is the day that we celebrate the birth of the Lord. Amen. Yes, it's not about what was under your tree. It's about he who came and then died upon the tree. Amen? That's what it's all about. What would happen if God says, hey, heaven is closed. No prayer is going to be answered. It's a holiday. We're taking the day off. Angels are gone. They're, the Holy Spirit's no longer leading, directing, guiding, loving, or anything. No, that's not the way it is at all. No, listen, I know and believe that this church... You know, this is the first time we've ever had only one service for Christmas, and I knew we should have had two, okay? But, you know, it's good to see a lot of you here. I like to see it full, amen? But, you know, I know that you parents that attend this church, I know that this morning that you told your children why we celebrate this day. I know that you reminded them, and I know that you told them why the multitude of the heavenly host were praising and giving glory unto God in the highest and goodwill and peace on earth. Amen. I know that you did that this morning. I know that you told them that 2,000 years ago, there wasn't somebody with a white beard dressed in red. No, I know you didn't do that. Not Calvary. But you told them about the birth of our Lord who was placed in a little stone feed trough there, for there was no room for him in the inn. I know that you told them that Jesus, the Son of God, was manifested in the flesh to rescue the world. See, that's what it's all about. There's not one person on this planet that doesn't need to be rescued unless Christ has already rescued them. Amen? You see, that's why he came. That's why Jesus was born. That's what God planned from eternity to the moment at Bethlehem when Jesus came into this world. You know, it says in Luke 2:9, it says, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, meaning the shepherds that were out in the field at night, remember? And it says, oh, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, oh, listen, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings, great joy, which will be to not just the Jewish people, but it says to all people. The angels went to the shepherds, the ones that were in a sense, the outcast, if you will, taking care of the sheep out there, and made that great announcement, a Savior's been born. You know what? The angel said, and he goes on and he says this, he says, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The aged apostle John put it this way in 1 John 4:14. He says, the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Paul the apostle said in 1 Timothy 1:15, he says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The one who saved us, that we love, that we adore, the one that was no room for him, he has rescued us. Amen? I am so thankful. See, listen, this day, Christmas is not about you. It's about what God has already done for you. Amen? That's why we celebrate this wonderful day. And did you know, believe it or not, there in the Gospel of John, as Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus and talking to him, did you know that right there is the greatest Christmas message ever given to the world, and Jesus himself gives it. And not only that, if you look very closely in your Bible at that text, it's even in red. See, I don't have the first service to practice on. Now, see, that means right now that would have not gone over well with you the second service, okay? Now, let's look at this. It says there in the Word of God, this great Christmas scripture. It says, for God so loved... No, let's start earlier. Let's look at something else here. Start up at verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, speaking of the cross. And whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then Jesus, our Christmas sermon, says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen to me now. You know that scripture by heart. Most people, even that don't know the Lord, know that scripture by heart. There's not any other scripture given in the Word of God that shows us the complete, final, incredible, redemptive plan and purpose of God by sending Jesus to save us. Amen? I look and I say, oh, Lord, that revolves around 10 words spoken by Jesus. Look at those words here. The one who was born of a virgin, born in a manger. Look at it. It says, God loved, world, gave, Son, whoever, believes, perish, have life. Those are incredible words. The infinite, eternal, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-seeing, great God and Father who is in heaven, who loves us, he sent Jesus to us. You know, it's God that loves. The one who created everything, sustains everything, who has need of absolutely nothing, sent Jesus, his Son. That's what it's all about. Without John 3:16, there would be no babe in the manger. There would be absolutely no star guiding the wise men. We would not be singing Silent Night or Hark the Herald Angel or Joy to the World. None of it had not John 3:16 taken place. You see, it says, for God so loved. It is God who loves us. It is God who gave to us. It is God who took the initiative. Man could not save himself. Jesus came to rescue us. Amen. That's what his birth was all about, to go to the cross and die for our sins and pay our sin debt. And here's what I found out of all these years now of serving the Lord, is that God's love, this incredible love from God, is the love that will never, ever leave you. It will never, ever forsake you. This is the God's love. This is the kind of love that many waters, as the Bible says, cannot quench. This is the kind of love that suffers long. Amen. And is kind. This is the kind of love that we learn about, that bears all things, believes all things, endures all things. This is the love that never fails. Amen. See, that's what it's all about. God's love. He loves the world. He loves all of us. You could go, if you could call up the angel Gabriel right now and say, Gabriel, let me ask you a quick question. You know, why is it? How much does God really love the world? You know what Gabriel will say? He said, go read John 3:16. That's exactly, because that's what we're reading here. The object of God's love. You've heard me say it probably a million times. The object of God's love is not the rivers, the trees, and all of the plains, and you know, and all. That's not what he's talking about when he says the world. He's talking about mankind. The object of God's incredible, infinite, uncaused, unchanging love is simply you. Everyone on this planet. Everyone that's walking in sin right now, you that may be listening right now and you're watching there, maybe from your iPhone or your iPad or sitting on your couch, I know not. I tell you, if you don't know Christ, he came, he was born for you, to rescue you. That's what God's love, that incredible love, is all about. God knows everyone on this planet personally, in every generation. Every nation upon this earth. And he says, you are the object of my love. That's what it is all about. It says, not only, look how his love now. How did God reveal his love? Watch this now. He what? He gave his only begotten Son. You know, the word there gave, it means this. It means that the babe who was born in the manger in Bethlehem was born as an offering for sin. When the angel went to the shepherds in the field by night who were protecting and guarding the flocks, the sheep, do you know what the sheep that they were guarding was for? For the temple sacrifices. That's what those little sheep, the little lambs. Remember the scripture? There is Jesus now. He's in the manger. He is born. The shepherds are in the field. Angels are talking to the shepherds, guarding the sacrifices. And behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world is now birthed. You follow me? God is so good. And I look at all the things that he does for us and how much he loves us. It says in 1 John 4:9 about the love of God. It says this is how the love of God was made visible or was manifested. That little baby, our Savior, that was born in a manger. It says his love was manifested toward us that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. That's what it's all about. Live through him. Do you know that Jesus came that we might have life? And have it more abundantly. That's why the Lord came, to rescue us. So when you want to know a definition of the love of God, all you have to do is just say, the baby in the manger. God made his love visible to all mankind. That's exactly what it is. And can you imagine? Here is Jesus being born, the God-man, the little baby, in the saddest, loneliest place on earth. I mean, all alone, no room in the inn. There with just shepherds coming that, remember, they came and looked upon him because the angel said he's born in Bethlehem, and here's the clue. He's going to be in a feed trough. He's going to have swaddling cloths all around him. That's not hard, is it? And, I mean, did you put your baby like that? I'm sure you don't say, well, here you go. Here, just had a little feed trough. Put him in there. No, you have a pretty bassinet. we have a pretty bassinet, don't we? Yeah. Sinners. No. You know I'm teasing you. I love you. Oh, listen. I mean, born here in a world that didn't want him. He came to a world that didn't want him, that despised him, that rejected him, that hated him, and would then finally kill him. The Bible says in 1 John 4:10, this is love. I like this. Now listen. This is love. Not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent, meaning from heaven, his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. See, because of Christmas, we really know the truth about ourselves. See, God didn't come send his Son into the world because we were so in love with God. No, or that we were such a lovely people. No, that's not it at all. No, the joy of Christmas is this, that Jesus came for those who are dead in trespasses and sins to take their sin. I am so thankful that God has saved me and saved you. His love, how was his love demonstrated? It says in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us. And while we were still sinners, still loving our sin, it says Christ died for us. He took our place. That's what propitiation means. He satisfied the demands of God by coming into this world and dying on the cross and suffering for us and paying our sin debt in full. Amen? Now listen, the angel told Joseph in a dream, remember. You know, when you study out the Christmas story in Matthew, it's all about dreams. When you get over into Luke, it's all about the angel showing up, okay? And so the angel told Joseph in a dream because he was wanting to put away Mary privately because he loved her and she was pregnant and he couldn't figure it out. You know, and so it says in Matthew 1:21, when the angel spoke to Joseph in a dream, he said, and Mary, Joseph, said, will bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. The one that there was no room for in the end, I tell you, he was born to be handed over to sinful man, and he was born to die on the cross for us. And the reason, look at the purpose, For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, and here's the purpose, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believes in him. Isn't that wonderful? Listen, do you know people say, I've talked to people, and they say, Bill, I don't know how, I'm trying to be saved. I said, you don't have to try. You don't have to, do penance and all of that. No, you just have to simply believe in your heart. You see, the word believe means to trust in, to rely upon. Whenever a person believes, John 3:16, meaning believes in Jesus, listen, that's what activates that scripture. That's how a person is born again, when you trust in Christ. Amen? I know God is so good. Now listen, the greatest promise given to man, the greatest Christmas scripture, if you will, is he has done something here. He says that whosoever believes upon him, and look at those three words, should not what? That's incredible. That's talking about eternal hell, eternal destruction. When a person believes upon him, man, you shall not perish but have everlasting life. Listen, every Christmas present you received or you purchased for others, it is going to perish one day. Do you understand? I mean, you're going to go in your closet in a few years and go, that doesn't fit, or that's old, that's ugly. It's perishing. Everything is perishing. But we will never perish, amen? Because we believe in the Lord. Jesus told us, listen to this. He said in John 10:28, Jesus said, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will be able to snatch them out of my hand. And he has given us something that is incredible, everlasting life, meaning the life that God himself possesses. We are going to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever, and there's no Christmas trees in heaven. Yeah, I got more of it, but I won't go there. Listen to this, 1 John 5:11. This is the testimony, John says, that God has given us, it's a present possession, it's already there. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son, can only be found in him. Jesus is man's only hope. He goes on and he says, and who has the Son? He who has the Son has life. But he who does not have the Son does not have life and will never ever see life. I'm talking not about just going through the motions of living your physical life. No, I'm talking about forever with the Lord. You know, I'm so thankful for this church this year. God has been so good to us, hasn't he? He's kept everything going. He's been the true Ebenezer, our stone of help. You know, I have that stone which I'm going to be bringing to my office in my study at home. And I wrote on it 2016. I'm going to put it on my shelf. I'll never, ever forget all that God has done for us this year. It has been a wonderful year. Let me keep going here. It says, and these things, it says in 1 John 5:13, I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know or know absolutely that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Eternal life is a gift. Listen to me now. John 3:16 is an incredible revelation to me and to you. And that revelation is this, that God loves everyone. That God, he doesn't love sin. He hates sin so much. Jesus was born to die for our sin. But God loves everyone. He loves everyone, loved one. And not only that, he doesn't want anyone to ever perish. He doesn't want, sin. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. That's not God's will. Listen, a lost person may go to hell, but they'll never go to hell, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love them. That means they've rejected Jesus. You know that. I know that. No, listen, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:4 that God desires all men to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9, it says that he says he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Perish. Jesus doesn't want that to happen. God doesn't want that to happen. Man needs a Savior. And John 3:16 is a universal invitation. Quickly, let me just go to verse 17 and we'll wrap this up. For God did not send, meaning from heaven, his Son into this world to what? to condemn it. See, that I hear it all the time. Well, it's God's fault. No. God's not condemned. He doesn't want to condemn anyone. He sent Jesus in the world not to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. See, God loves everybody, but what's so sad is that people can reject God's love, reject God's offer of salvation. Say, I don't need God. I don't need any of that. Everyone needs Jesus. Everyone needs our Lord. You know, it says, it goes on, and I'm not going to conclude that part, but it says that the light has come, but men love darkness rather than light. The light has come. If you don't know Christ this morning, listening live in the overflow here, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you'll open your heart to him, for he was born for you. He died for you. He wants you desperately. He wants you to come to him. But see, man has a free choice. God has given him that. But you know, if it says if you confess with your mouth and if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised him from the dead, God says, if you will believe that and confess that, I will save you. I will save you right now. I will change your life forever. I will rescue you and keep you rescued for all eternity. There is no one like Jesus. Jesus is God's way back to him. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. No one comes to the Father except by him. Amen. Father, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray right now, Lord, if there's anyone listening live or listening in, or here in this chapel, I ask you, Lord, I pray they reach out to you. And if that is you, just quietly, right this moment, you don't need me. You just need to open your heart and say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Save me. You might be here this morning just walking in, just a visitor, or someone could have invited you, and maybe you're messed up on drugs or messed up and your whole life is messed up. I'm telling you what, you can't correct all that, but Jesus can, but you have to come to him. And it doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect, but I'll tell you that he'll save you, he'll help you, and he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Reach out to him if you don't know him this morning. And Father, once again, we thank you for this day. We came to worship our Savior. We came to hear words from our Savior's lips. Bless your people. Touch your people. And Lord God, this last sermon of 2016 from this pulpit, thank you for this year. And thank you for the new year that's coming. As we begin to prepare our hearts to walk in a fullness that we have never known, we love you. We praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, amen. Merry Christmas, everyone. Let's stand together. From my home to yours, I pray you have a great, wonderful Christmas day in the mighty name of Jesus. We're going to sing. If you need prayer, you know there'll be people right after the song here at the altar. God bless each and every one.